The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Abu Zab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Take us through the key talking points on the daring Palestinian prison escape.
So this was the story, Ma, that was breaking literally 1 week ago at this time, and how much has it developed and how much has it captured the attention or the imagination of Palestinians and the world. We can talk about, obviously, the immediate Israeli response to this, the incompetence that it has revealed on the side of the Israeli occupation, a bit about the Islamic Jihad movement, who are obviously in the headlines a lot relating to this prisoner escape, the solidarity that has come out from segments of the Palestinian society, and what this has symbolized for the Palestinian cause. Just to start off with on the current status, so there have been rearrests of four of the prisoners. This happened from the Israeli side in cities, Palestinian cities inside 1948. This happened on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, respectively. And as we speak, four of these freedom fighters happen to be in Israeli Shin Bet custody, where a small court hearing was held as well. There is some evidence, visual evidence, that at least one of those who were rearrested had been beaten quite badly, as evidenced by swelling on his face. Now, the Israeli investigation, what they're suggesting is, although initially they had claimed or thought that some of these escaping detainees, had people on the outside who had assisted them, now they're suggesting that there was no one on the outside who had actually assisted them after they escaped. Israeli suggesting that the next steps were quite random and unplanned, and this may be part of a propaganda or psychological war, but Israeli suggesting that these prisoners, once they were out there and managed to get beyond the immediate environs of the prison, were quite tired and hungry after a few days on the run. In terms of the media discourse, some are pointing out an important dimension here, that the very fact that this prison exists and holds these kind of prisoners is in itself a violation of international law, because international law specifies that occupiers cannot keep prisoners from the people that they occupy in their own territory. Rather, they should have these kind of prisons in the occupied territories. From the Palestinian side, there's also the question of language. So Palestinian media throughout are calling this, using the hashtag Tunnel of Freedom, and they're not using the word escape. Rather, they are saying this is a liberation process rather than an escape process. The immediate response from the Israelis has been one of revenge. So there have been incarcerations of family members of the detainees who escaped, then collective punishment on the prisoners, suspending family visits to the prisoners that happened under the auspices of the Red Cross. The time that prisoners are allowed to go outside their cells daily within prison has been cut down from 4 hours to 1 hour, and also the prison shop store where people get their supplies, that has also been closed to prisoners. The response of Palestinian detainees to this in general has been quite stern. So there have been protests within jails, there have been setting of fires to detention cells in various prisons, and there's also calls for a hunger strike in stages that's going to be happening, as called by the Palestinian Prisoners Society. On the score of incompetence, now this is where Israeli media have obviously been stating, their own government as well as the Israeli Prisons Authority, asking how did this tunnel get to be dug in the first place. And then, you know, we all saw the picture of the hole that emanated out. But if one sees the full picture, it was right beneath, literally speaking, the nose of a watchtower. And the information has now come out that that watchtower was unmanned for months. And another watchtower that was manned, the guard that was on duty there, the Israeli occupation guard, was actually sleeping. Prison footage showed all of this occurring, but no one was watching that prison footage. And therefore, Israeli authorities planning, you know, a big investigation here. But at the same time, people are suggesting that this kind of investigation might, you know, try and pin the blame on, you know, more perhaps not the highest echelons of the prison service to detract from, you know, the major failures. There's also this issue of the blueprint of this prison was available online for a long period of time, and this was from the people who constructed the prison, and it's not known whether this played some role in how this prison escape was planned. On the score of the Islamic Jihad, the Israeli prison, you know, people in the Israeli prison service is pointing out, example, one quote, that the members of Islamic Jihad, and particularly Islamic Jihad prisoners, are, quote, insanely brave and do whatever they take. It takes, for example, a few years ago, they tried via drone to actually smuggle 60 cell phones into a particular prison. And Israeli prison officials actually quite fearful of Islamic Jihad prisoners, in some cases not even attempting to go into areas of prisons where Islamic Jihad prisoners are held. And this feeds into the broader story of the place where these Islamic Jihad members and those who escaped came from, and that is Jenin, where in the past few months there's been open calls for an armed struggle for the first time since the Second Intifada. Something that's obviously concerning Israel a lot, as well as spinning a kind of doom for Mahmoud Abbas and his authority. Almost lastly, you've got solidarity now being expressed, the fact that these were members of Fatah and Islamic Jihad together, so reigniting hope amongst Palestinians of combined acts of resistance. You also got Hamas saying that any future prisoner swap deal will make it a condition that these rearrested prisoners should be released. And ultimately, as Jonathan Cook has said, even though some people might have been rearrested or all might potentially be rearrested, every minute the men remained at large, it was a defying moment of the Israeli occupation, and every minute they can't be found, Israel's system of control is defeated, and Palestinians are reminded that freedom may be possible and the occupation is certainly not invincible.
And then a new happy chapter for Harald Diek.
So 1 week after she was released, after a mass social media campaign where she fears were expressed about the fact that she would she might have to have delivery of a child in the harsh prison conditions, she has given birth to a son in very much more happy conditions, normal scenes of birth, happy family members, and she's named her son Allah. I was obviously cautious to call this a happy chapter, not a happy ending, because she still has to pay this massive fine, and she may still have to go back to prison with a newborn baby if she's to serve time for what she's accused of.
I have some shukran for the update. Always appreciate it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was this week's Palestine Report with Hafiz Ibrahim Musa.